Well, first up this morning, it's Shane Lowry's incredible win yesterday at the Open in Portrush. And I'm joined in the line by Shane Ross, Minister for Transport, Tourism and Sport. Good morning, Minister. Great day for Irish golf. In fact, for Irish sport, you were there in Portrush, weren't you? What was the atmosphere like?
I've never been at a sporting event like it, Morning Moon. It was quite extraordinary. There was everybody I met was behind Shane Lowry. Everybody was absolutely emphatic that this was the only issue of the day and that he must win it. And there didn't seem to be a kind of another side to this at all. It was an amazing atmosphere, particularly as it was a dreadful day for part of the day, and people weren't spazed in any way, at least all the players, by the weather. It was something quite unique, and it was unique, I suppose, because Ireland sometimes is divided, but golf is an all island game, and there are no borders in golf. And Shane Lowry he's very special, and I think he's very special because of his personality rather than his golf. In some ways, everybody likes him. He's humble. He's doing this, in front of his very young family, and he's got this rather boyish outlook, rather naive outlook, and no one feels he's after anything except just achieving something, which is very, very important to them.
Did you manage to get anywhere near the 18th green?
The 18th green was almost impossible to get to. I got completely and utterly stuck in the rain. It was pouring with rain, and I was queuing up for the 18th green for about an hour and a half. And eventually, I didn't even get into it because there were so many people there. It was absolutely packed. So I went back and watched it on the box, which was a great disappointment. But the atmosphere there was just phenomenal. There were thousands of people, thousands and thousands of us couldn't even get into the 18th green. But the roars and the shouts and the atmosphere was something I'd never forget.
We heard in the news there that arrangements are going to be announced this afternoon about the homecoming. Do you know anything about those arrangements?
Well, what we've always said in the department here is that the arrangements are really up to the people involved. Whatever Shane Lowry wants, he will certainly get. And he'll ask if he wants it, or he'll be given whatever he wants, because he's an iconic figure now. He's a national hero, and obviously if he wants to celebrate in a very quiet way, that's up to him. But if he wants to celebrate with his family, I gather he's cancelled his trip to Memphis because he wants to be here to be with his people, and probably awfully is more important to him than some sort of national recognition. But no, I can't reveal that at the moment. I can't say anything about that at the moment.
But will your department pay for his homecoming?
Look, my department will be standing ready and willing to acknowledge in any way that's appropriate what Shane Lowry has done for Ireland and has done for the island of Ireland.
So that means yes.
The answer is I will be more than happy to fund anything appropriate, obviously no funds would be withheld in something which is a national celebration. I don't think anybody would begrudge this man being recognised as having uplifted the nation in the last few days.
Definitely not. Now, it was so wonderful that he won it on the island of Ireland. I gather you met, did you, Minister, yesterday, officials from the RNA, that's the Royal and Ancient. Were they happy with how the championship went? And do you think we could expect to see the Open back in Portrush in the next few years?
I do. And I talked to them about this and other great possibilities for golf in the island of Ireland. Ireland has done so well in terms of golf recently. The Irish players have won 4 out of 12 the last British Open. So I think they will be looking at, in my discussions with them, I think we really decided that they would look at Portrush again because this was so incredibly successful. And of course, there's a political attraction in having an all island golf tournament, and there's a particular attraction in an Irishman from the Republic winning it. Because I had an extraordinary experience yesterday. I had to take refuge in the wind. I went into what they call the Royal Portrush Golf Club, and that's a very traditional golf club up there. And everybody there was cheering for Shane Lowry. There was absolutely no doubt whatsoever that everybody on the island of Ireland was cheering for this man, and that was so important. And the other thing was, of course, which was so incredibly engaging, it's all over the photographs and the newspapers this morning, is he's such a family man. You see this kind of slightly boyish grin on him when he's won, almost saying, "Hey, look, this has happened to me, and here's my young wife and my very young child with me, and I did it for them." He's grabbed something here because of his personality, which I think others have failed to do.
Now, look, golf on a high today. Obviously, soccer isn't, as the FAI remains mired in controversy, as you know. Your letter calling for Donal Conway to step down last week, it was completely ignored by him and the FAI. Are you embarrassed that it was such a blatant slapdown, Minister?
What we've got to do, and we've made this absolutely clear, is we've got to make it absolutely certain that the FAI is reformed and that it's reformed by a completely new group of people.
But they completely ignored you.
But they didn't completely ignore it. What they did was they said, no, we're not going to do what you want to do, and that we're going to continue. We're going to continue to have at least two people on the board who served on the old board. That was something which...
Well, what can you do about that? I mean, Donald Conway's own quotes were, he said he would proceed with his re-election based on a pragmatism and what best serves the current circumstances. That's what he says. So what can you do about that?
I can't interfere with the independence of the FAI, and I've never wanted to do that. What I can say is that I want to see really good governance in the FAI, and the FAI has fallen down in so many ways in recent times, and I can't say too much about it because there's so many investigations going on. But what we have done is we've withdrawn funding. We've made it absolutely clear that it's not acceptable to us that people who have been presiding over a situation which is unacceptable should continue in office. They may be able to organize it that they can do that temporarily. But as far as the government is concerned, as far as I'm concerned, and as far as Sport Ireland is concerned, we can't endorse a situation where some of the old regime is still in place and won't be doing so.
But isn't part of your problem that you had your wrist slapped, I suppose, by FIFA and UEFA, who warned against interference from government when you actually did write not wanting Donald Conway to re-stand?
Yeah, what I said was I thought it was totally against corporate governance norms that someone, someone who's been on the board for 14 years at a time of great turmoil and great difficulty should insist on staying on in this situation. 14 years is far too long by any normal standards. It's not in the interests of the supporters, and taxpayers' money is going towards this. I've got to look after taxpayers' money. Taxpayers' money is going to an organisation which is not conforming to government normal norms. Supporters have got to be looked after. Their interest, the interest of players have got to be looked after.
Yeah, but the truth is there's nothing you can do about it. I hear what you're saying, Minister, but like UEFA and FIFA slapped your wrists. You obviously recommended that you felt Donald Conway would go. He's not going to go. You can do nothing.
Well, what we have to do now is, first of all, welcome those reforms which have been introduced. And they have been done, obviously, under an enormous amount of enthusiasm and energy from Sport Ireland. But what we also have to do, and I don't want to say anything, is wait and see what these three reports say about the activities at the FAI at a time when some of the directors were there. This is what really worries me, is Donald Conway was there at the period under question, and so were other directors who were already standing for re-election. We can't possibly endorse that. We can't restore funding until corporate governance, the interests of the players, the interests of supporters, take priority of the interests of an elite at the top.
Okay, and I appreciate you joining me this morning. Just one thing before I let you go. Fia Kelly of the Irish Times, as you know, reported on Saturday that Maria Bailey could lose the Fine Gael whip over her withdrawn personal injuries claim against the Dean Hotel. So it looks like there are very serious implications for her. Do you regret posing on a swing days after her claim became public? I mean, it almost looked, Minister, like you were making fun of her.
No, I wasn't. What happened there was I was in the Goat Pub in Goatstown, in my constituency, and somebody who I was with said, hey, look, there's a swing, why don't you sit on it? It was just a light-hearted moment, and we took it out and we put it up there, but there was absolutely no political message. And I understand those who say, look, this is a bit tactless, and it probably was, but there was no political message meant to be there.
Oh, no political message, but come on, if you're on a swing, knowing that story.
It was just a bit of humour. It was a bit of light-hearted humour.
Insensitive, maybe?
What, sorry?
Insensitive.
Well, if it's insensitive, I'm sorry, but I do have a sense of humour, and I thought it was quite funny to sit on and send out there. There was absolutely no judgement in it one way or the other. It was just a momentary decision. The photograph went up. I think it was a lot of people found it very funny.
Okay, well, look, Minister, thanks so much for joining us this morning. I really appreciate that. We're going to stay with Shane Lowry's great win, and I'm joined now from Esker Hills Golf Club, which is close to Shane's village of Clara, by our reporter, Brian O'Connell. Good morning, Brian. I believe you joined friends and family of Shane as all these dramatic events unfolded.
I did, and I can tell you it was some atmosphere there yesterday. It's actually still quite a good atmosphere here, Miriam. There are people gathering here. There's a fairly brisk business and full Irish is happening here in the golf club at the moment. And I think aside perhaps from Offaly winning the All-Ireland, I just can't imagine the kind of scenes that were here in Esker Hills Golf Clubhouse being repeated. The walls of the clubhouse, of course, are adorned with photographs of Shane Lowry, his win as an amateur 10 years ago in the Irish Open, his success in the Leinster Boys, which possibly first hinted at his potential, But they're going to have to create a bigger space on the wall, of course, for this incredible success from yesterday. This is the club here, Esker Hills, which is, in golfing terms, relatively new. It's only about 20 years old. Shane joined here when he was about 12 or 13 years of age. His handicap came down quite quickly. A bit of a late starter in golfing terms. He came down to scratch when he was a 16-year-old. And many club members and locals and friends, and there was some extended family, had gathered here from early yesterday to watch him lift that claret jug. Or they're calling it here locally the Clara jug, which is what people are renaming it. There were hushes throughout the afternoon as he prepared to hit each shot, and then you'd followed by cheers, bursts of song, chants of ole, ole, ole. And then towards the end, I looked around the room. I think I counted about 10 people crying. In fact, one man I met told me he cried way more yesterday than he did at his daughter's wedding a couple of months earlier. So that's the kind of emotion that was here all afternoon. It is a golf club, like many, I suppose, that's seen some tough times over the last few years. And it's very much driven by local families. I suppose that's really befitting of the man himself. It's a very grounded club. It's one from very much the whole community is behind it. Let's start, Miriam, if we can, with a compilation of some of the sounds of the afternoon yesterday from Esker Hills here, as those gathered watched a local man making history, culminating in this clip in his putt for the win.
Sounds so wonderful there, Brian. Listen, I can imagine it will go on for a few days, all that celebration. You went out to Clare this morning as well, didn't you, out in the streets?
I'd say it'll go on for a few months, actually. I was in Clara this morning, probably a bit early. I was there about 8 a.m. I called into Baggett's, where Shane's father, Brendan, had his 60th birthday party a couple of weeks ago. I actually just walked in the door, but there was nobody there. It was sort of like one of those Wild West towns. All that was missing was the tumbleweed going down through the middle of the main street. Obviously, people had a very late night and early morning, so it was quite deserted. There were a couple of business owners opening up shop, a few people walking their dogs. So I had a quick chat with some of the locals who are still about very early this morning. Clara.
A credit to himself, to the town, but most importantly I'm delighted because of his family, Brendan and Bridgie, great sports people, down to earth, fantastic people, fantastic for the town, but I think it's fantastic for sport in general, you know, that one of our own came up through the ranks and brought the town to a standstill yesterday. And it was great to see it, you know. And the first time ever, I wasn't a great sportsman because I was praying for everyone else to miss all the putts and for Shane. But that's the joy of it, you know. But I'm delighted for.
What was the town like last night?
Brilliant. It's a great success story.
Tell us your name, please.
Brian McManus.
You're looking fresh, Brian. Big week planned.
Big week planned for town. Yeah, it's going to be amazing for the town. It's a great, great boost for the town. We need it. He's a great guy, great family. So. Absolutely delighted for him. Delighted for him. So hopefully now he comes visit us now sometime this week.
Tell us your name, please.
Peter Donnegan.
You're just opening up the butcher shop here. It was a late night.
It was good. It was great for the town, great for the family, great for everything. Well, I know his grandmother very, very well. I know his mother and father very well. Like, very modest family. I suppose the right words to describe his grandmother would be, she could call her the Queen of Clara. Prior to Shane ever becoming famous, she's a very well-known character in the town. And
what was the town like last night?
Very, very busy last night, and busy for the week ahead, I think, as well.
You'll sell an extra few steaks.
Everyone will be looking for barbecues. Burgers flying everywhere.
That was Clara Butcher, Peter Donnegan, speaking to you there, Brian. And thanks so much for joining us, Brian. I think everyone would have loved to be with you in Esker Hills yesterday evening watching all of that. I'm now joined on the line by the captain of Esker Hills Golf Club, Paul Rabbit, and also by Shane O'Donoghue, who's the host of the Living Golf Show on CNN. Thanks to you both for joining us. Paul, you were in Portrush yourself last night, that which must have been extraordinary. But was there a part of you that also wishes you could have been in Clara?
Barry, and if I could have made two of myself, I certainly would have loved to have been back at Clare. But in Portrush, it was surreal. It was like a fantasy, a Walt Disney film, if you like to say, because it was unbelievable.
Did you obviously get to talk to him afterwards, or did you even get your hands in the claret jug yet, Paul?
No, unfortunately, I did not. I had the privilege of being in the main stand to see him lifted, all right, and that was special. So, we're hoping to get our hands on it sometime this week or sometime in the near future.
Interestingly, you know, when people win big events like this, rarely do you get such beautiful comments about the individual. Everyone's saying, you know, good things finally happen to good people. I mean, he's so supportive, for instance, of your junior members, isn't he, in the club?
Absolutely. His dad, Brendan, would be the main driving force behind our junior membership. Shane sponsors everything that juniors do, unknown to himself, but most of the time, because Brendan would just, Shane, by the way, you sponsored this and sponsored that. Never a problem. He's the most down-to-earth man you'll ever meet. So he's.
Yeah, everyone seems to love him. Shane O'Donoghue, did you yourself get caught up in the atmosphere in Portrush last night?
It was phenomenal, Miriam. Great to talk to you. The whole week has been sensational, and the fact that Shane kind of came in under the radar a little bit at the beginning of the week, because obviously so much of the focus was on Royal Portrush, but predominantly on the likes of Rory McIlroy, Darren Clark, Graham McDowell, the local hopes and how they would do. So, you know, Shane took it up from day one with the 68 in the opening round and just pretty much got better every day. But I think Saturday was the big one. He did something absolutely sensational. Probably played the best golf of his life, and it was just stunning to watch. And then Sunday was really about holding on, but, you know, I think he's learnt from lessons in the past. There was a controlled aggression in how he played yesterday, and obviously he was cheered on by everyone. And he has, you know, 100% support out there, and the atmosphere was unique.
And obviously it must be a huge win for him, even psychologically. I mean, I was reading this morning about how in Carnoustie last year he sat in his car and cried. In other words, the difference a year on is extraordinary.
Yeah, and in Ballyliffin, even during the Irish Open last year, he was very disconsolate and could be heard talking about wanting to get out of the game and just get back and get a normal job, that it was that frustrating. So, you know, just a matter of weeks later, he's in Carnoustie and he can't get it together. So, you know, he was at a real mental low point, and physically he wasn't able to produce the magic that we know he has. But, you know, golfers do have these peaks and troughs. But he managed to get through it, and he does have a great team behind him. He's been working with Neil Manship since he was an amateur, who is also the Golfing Union of Ireland's national coach. They've got a fantastic relationship, and he's got a new caddy on the bag as well, Brian Martin from Ardglass in County Down, a very experienced caddy, and you could see how they interacted together over the past week, and you would have seen examples of that down in the Irish Open in Lahinch as well. There's a lovely chemistry there, and keeping it light between the ropes, because obviously it's a very anxious thing trying to perform at such a high level in front of such crowds and with so much on the line.
And that's so interesting when you spoke about the importance of Neil Manship, because I was listening to Shane last night, and one of the things he said was, when he was interviewed afterwards, was that Neil had taken him for a cup of coffee in a bar in Ardglass, actually, because he'd been quite nervous in the run-up to that final day. And whatever he said to him, Neil, it really made him feel so much more confident.
Yeah, well, I think if you talk to any of our top junior elites who are being groomed under Neil, you know, under the auspices of the Golfing Union of Ireland's elite scheme and elite squads, he's got a great way with him. You know, they really do have a lot of faith in him. He's a very good communicator. He understands what they're like. And this has grown, obviously, since the junior days of Shane Lowry into this professional relationship that they've enjoyed now since he turned pro in 2009. And, yeah, he's like a best friend. He's a mentor. He's a counsellor. And they would have gone for long walks outside the Bushmills Inn, you know, on several evenings. And whenever he would like to talk, or he was anxious, or he wasn't sleeping well, because it's hard to get a good eight hours sleep when you're in the middle of an Open Championship. But Neil was always there, as was Bo, his caddy. So they're like the two lieutenants, if you will, who are there to actually help him help himself.
Okay, well, look, Shane, it's always lovely to speak to you. And Paul Rabbit, the whole country is celebrating with you guys in Esker Hills Golf Club. Thanks so much for taking your time to speak to me this morning as well. We'll take a break.
Today with Miriam on RTE Radio 1.